not just the old hymns that they put the good words in there. It is sometimes a question that we can ask ourselves, not only did Mary, did you know, but did Bruce, did you know? Did George, did you know? Did Donna, did you know? This is what Christmas is about. We're going to read from Isaiah chapter 9 this morning. Verses 1 through 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you for the promise that you left us here in Isaiah and elsewhere through the scriptures, telling us of the coming of the Christ. And we thank you for that Christmas morning when you were born and breathed that first breath as a child. Lord, we thank you that you were born to be our perfect sacrifice, that we could receive salvation through the work that you came to do on the cross, which you have now completed and is now available for each and every one of us. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise. Now, Father, as I come to preach this morning, to praise your name, I ask that you would just encourage each of your people, those who are here, Lord, and those who aren't. Lord, for those of our fellowship and those who are just friends and family, who are off with their friends and family traveling, Lord, might they just experience your blessing right now. Lord, for any who are unable to be here due to health, again, Father, just encourage them. Let your blessing rest on them this Christmas morning. Father, we pray that your people would be encouraged and blessed, and that we would be a light to the world that would draw others closer to you, that all might receive the blessing of the gift you gave to us. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And we thank you for that. Lord, as I preach this morning, I pray your anointing be upon me, that I might not speak anything that is not of you. And Lord, if anything should pass my lips which doesn't glorify you or make clear your word, I pray it would be as if it is not spoken. Instead, Lord, might the words I speak lift up the hearts and help people to understand. Now, Lord, might it be your name which is lifted up and glorified, as we indeed should do each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. The dawn of joy. It was indeed on Christmas morning where joy was birthed. Christ's child was born. And He will be the increase of their joy. And they will rejoice before you as the people rejoice the harvest as men rejoice. Just, He is the object of our joy. He is that which makes it possible for us to have joy in the midst of our trials and tribulations. As Gloria mentioned, she's gone through some very difficult times, but yet the joy of the Lord has been possible to be there. It didn't make the trials and tribulations go away. It just made them easier to get through. And allowed her to have know that she's not alone, that the presence of the Lord would be there. See, this child is God. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 7:13-14 says, therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign, and the virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son. They will call Him Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. They were told by the prophets that this child which is coming is God Himself. He will be called Everlasting Father? This is not generally the title one puts upon a newborn. But yet, He said, this is what He's going to be called. That's because this is who He is. He's God come to earth for you and for me. I've been having a discussion over the last couple of days with some people online who are asking some very thought-provoking questions. I'm not sure how many of them are actually listening to any of the answers that I've, or reading the answers or paying attention that I have responded with. This is a group of people who I've gotten to know through some gaming and but we have a discussion board where I go to and I talk to them. And they're not always open, but when they are, I like to step through the door. And when they ask the question, I answer it. That it's because of the love of Christ. It's because of the love of God that we can have salvation. They're asking questions like, why is there still evil in the world? If God is all powerful, why doesn't He just wipe it all away? See, God didn't do that because He's a just God. And if He removes evil from this world, He must remove all the evil from the world. How many of us here are evil or have committed some sort of evil in their lives? Thought, word, deed, omission, or commission? Yeah. And if you've broken one part of the law, you've broken the whole thing. Doesn't matter. You get in front of the judge. Were you speeding? Yes, Your Honor, but I was only 2 miles over the speed limit. Guilty. sentencing guidelines say, you must pay this fine. It doesn't matter that you were only 2 miles over the speed limit and the guy who was 10 miles over the speed limit, you got to pay the same penalty. Well, that doesn't seem right. That's the law. The law is that all who have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, hello, each and every one of us, is facing death. But God knew that. So He said He is going to come Himself to be our sacrifice, to be the one who would bring joy in the world because He would restore the broken relationship we have with the Father. He was coming to bring peace. See, He's the Prince of Peace. And right before He came, there could be no peace between God and man because our sins weren't forgiven. The penalty for those sins needed to be paid because God is a righteous God. But He's also a loving God. So He said, I don't want you to have to pay that penalty. I will pay it on your behalf. So He came to live that perfect sinless life so that He could go to the cross and be the sacrifice for my sins, for our sins. So that our penalty could be paid and we could be accepted into the kingdom of heaven. Not even as slaves or servants or just lower classes, but as very children of God, members of His very household. That's what He brought on Christmas morning, was the first step that ended with the resurrection, showing us the first fruits of salvation. That living for eternity with the Father is available for each and every person who will receive the Christ as Lord and Savior. So I tell these people that Lord means that He's the boss of everything in your life. Savior means that He's paid the penalty that you can't pay yourself. So that we can receive mercy, that is, even though we deserve the penalty, it's saying we don't get it, and we can receive grace, that is, riches which we don't deserve, and enter into the very kingdom of heaven. Because God loves us. He is selfless, loyal, benevolent, concerned for our well-being. Selfless, He came and paid the price. Loyal, we crucified Him. Even though we were mean to Him and weren't always thankful, He did it. See, it's not the parents' job, or shouldn't be the parents' job or expectation, to look to the child for approval or for thank you. It's nice when you get it, don't get me wrong, but you didn't become a parent for that. And God isn't our parent because He's only going to be our parent if we approve of Him. That's not going to do that. He loves everybody. Those who are seeking to follow Him and those who don't. However, only those who seek to follow Him receive the gift of blessing, of mercy and grace. So there is benefit. A great benefit. But yet He made it available for all. And whether we received or not, he's left in our hands. And that's what I tell them. That's what I'm telling you. That's what I hope I've told my own children. And anyone who's ever asked. Is Christmas about a Christmas tree? No. I can make arguments for why we shouldn't have such a thing. It's really not a big deal. Because it's all about what we make of it. And what we're making of Christmas when we exchange presents, are we making it about showing our love for each other and sharing the love that Christ has with us? Or are we making it about, I want, give me? It's great to receive presents. I love it when you guys give me presents and gifts and cards and stuff. And I go, oh, goody, goody, goody. And Donna gave me some really goody stuff last night. I got a new monitor for my computer. I mean, it is nice. And I got a new shirt and tie and sweater. But you know what was better for me than the stuff I got? Was the stuff I gave Donna. And the stuff I gave Ryan and Chris. And I love the gifts they gave me. But it's the giving. See, when we give, we are emulating our Father in heaven who gave us, who gave himself to us. We need to give ourselves to others, not just stuff. The stuff is nice. But it just represents that, here, you have me. And I will give you all that I have and all that I can to seek to be a blessing for you. That encouragement is something each and every person needs. Nobody can feel loved unless somebody acts loving towards them. And as the Father has acted loving towards us, He's instructed us to be loving towards others. And that's the spirit of Christmas. That broken relationships can be rejoined, rebuilt, made new. Us with the Father. Us with each other. Families. Friends. Enemies, maybe. There's an injunction in the Scriptures that we are to love them too. And do remember that God loves them. He doesn't love you more. He loves them just as much. Even if they're very much black sheep. The question was asked, and this, what about the guy A who lives his life and he tries to do his best, and he gives money to charity, and he volunteers, and he does all this good stuff. But he never in any way acknowledges or accepts Christ. And what about the guy B, who really leads a pretty bad life, but yet on his deathbed, he recognizes that he has lived a bad life and he honestly repents of it and he turns to Christ. The question said, who gets to go to heaven? I said, The guy who receives Christ, he's been forgiven. See, both of them broke the law. Remember, even though the guy's been good, if I had never, ever, ever been speeding except one time, and that one time I got caught going 2 miles over the limit, and they wrote me a ticket, and I went to court and I said, I've never been speeding except this one time, and I was only 2 miles over. Look at my driving record. It's immaculate. I've never had an accident. I've never had another ticket. You know what the judge would say? Guilty, pay the fine. Why are you wasting my time? But if I had several speeding tickets and I came in and judge said, fine, $5,000. Surrender your license until you've passed this class. And my brother walks in and says, here's the money. Oh, and I took him to class last week. He's already passed it. Judge says, it's wiped away. Have a nice day. Christ is born for everybody, but not everybody's going to receive him. And it's not about a scale of balance, who's been more good. It's about, have you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior? Now, yes, I have preached. You can't do good in evil's name, and you can't do evil in good's name. But God also told us that we are without excuse if we don't accept that He is. Now, I don't necessarily need to know that Jesus' name is Jesus to receive Jesus. But I do need to receive God, the creator of the universe, into my heart, and know that only He is the one who can pay the penalty for my sins. And if I can't do that, then I have to stand outside of salvation and outside of heaven and outside of the mercy and grace of God and receive that which I've earned. And I don't want what I earned, honestly and truly. I don't want it. And I don't want it for anybody. So this Christmas season, I have an injunction to you. If somebody says to you, Happy Holidays, say just Merry Christmas to you too. Because it's not Happy Holidays, even though some of my Christmas cards say, you know, for the seasons or something, but I all point out for that Christ is the focus of it. Bring to mind of people that Christ, the one who was born in Bethlehem, is our real Christmas present. And anyone who doesn't receive Christ at Christmas really didn't get Christmas. Let's pray. Father, help us to share Christ with those around us. Help us, Lord, to remember that You indeed love us and care for us, and that You are going to see to it that This is available for all because it is your zeal and your love which drives. Lord, we thank you for Christmas because it's the first step that is absolutely necessary for Good Friday and Easter to be possible. Lord, we thank you that you are willing to be so humble. Lord, help us to be willing to be humble. Some of us are unwilling to bend our neck to be humble. Sometimes, Lord, we just want to rebel. Lord, help us not to do that, but to seek you and your will for what it is you would have each of us to be doing. Lord, might we submit ourselves to you and receive your blessings of mercy and grace. Let our hearts be filled with joy because you live within. And might we share this love and joy with those around us so that all, Lord, could receive the gift of Christmas. That is a restored relationship with the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, our Prince of Peace and Lord of Lords, Emmanuel. Amen. Let's